Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know. So enjoy, have a great time, and on with the show.
Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
Hey, hold it. Hang on a second, Pat. We're not doing that. We're going to do something different today.
All right.
Something for the kids. You're entering into a dimension where both time and space have no meaning. Where Sexy Mike is considered an audio engineer. And Vader does bikini waxing out of my van. It's a dimension where Patrick the Hattrick tweets pictures of sunsets from the beach and writes hashtag blessed. It's where Jay, the juicy man, leaves his DNA on every flight from L.A. to Canada. And where Dan has made Tube Top Summertime a way of life for everyone. Look, up ahead, it's CKDJ. It's Email Chain Theater. You're entering the podcast zone and eat it, Patrick.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Welcome to the Jay and Dan podcast, episode 58. That's a 5-8er. It's a 5-8 podcast brought to you by Fox Sports Live.
That's a big 5-8er. Fox Sports Live, weeknights 11 Eastern on Fox Sports 1, 219 on DirecTV, and nowhere on my hotel's cable at the Wynn in Vegas, unfortunately.
But you know who was on that TV?
Porn?
Steve Wynn.
Oh, my God. My favorite thing, and this is kind of weird, but my favorite thing about staying at the Wynn in Vegas is that Steve Wynn, does a hotel tour where he, first of all, Steve Wynn is 74 years old.
Looking great.
His teeth are 8 years old. Like, they're big, bright chompers, and he sits there with his hand like this, and he's like, this is my hotel. Would you like a tour of this hotel?
So does he walk around to each place and say, here's the spa?
No, and remember when we were at the NASCAR Awards, I asked one of the Wynn's angels, which I thought was going to be a prostitute, but turned out to be an actual person who checks you in.
An actual human.
Yeah.
That prostitutes aren't humans.
No, prostitutes are more human than any of us, really. They do God's work, frankly. That's the world's oldest profession. Anyway. That's just hearsay. But here's the thing. I asked one of the Wynn's angels, I said, does he, like, get a script? And they're like, they try to give him a script. And then he just says, fuck it.
He's like, who the fuck's name's on the hotel?
Yeah. Who built this
He lives there.
Yeah, he lives in one of the suites there.
That's the way to go.
What a badass. I love it. Love that
place. I'm glad you brought up the NASCAR Awards because we are going to have podcast history.
Yeah.
Our guest is the first time we've ever had someone who just won the Daytona 500. We got Joey Logano coming.
Joey Logano on the podcast today.
Yeah.
Cannot wait for
Pretty sure NASCARs don't have horns, but I like it. They should.
Actually be amazing if they did. He just said, wah, wah,
wah, wah. Do you know how many years I watched NASCAR races before I found out those lights were stickers?
Yeah, they have headlights.
Oh. Yeah, because the cleanups would take forever if you ever clean up glass.
Yeah. And you don't need them. But I'm like, why do they put them there? Why do they put them there?
The other thing. It'd look weird if it didn't, probably. Either.
Probably right.
Can I tell you a little bit, just before we get off this Wynn Hotel topic, my wife and I went there over the weekend, and we got a couples massage.
Ooh. That's a spicy meatball.
But my wife's pregnant, so she got a pregnancy massage where it's boring. I think you just lie on your side, and they rub your bum hole or something.
They don't massage the baby?
No, they don't do that.
I don't know.
No, I asked the same question. I thought maybe they rub the tummy a little bit, but they don't do that. But I said to my wife, can I, because I saw it, she's like, why don't you get a massage? I'm like, yes, I will. And then I see all the lists of massage. I see four hands massage. So I got the old four hander. It was
Is it two
great.
People and they each use their hands, or is it four people and they each use one hand?
Well, It's two women, okay, and I thought it would be random. I thought it would be like one working the shoulders, one working the thighs, one working the feet, one working on the scalp. It was coordinated. It was like a dance. It was like Cirque du Soleil. It was so coordinated. But the scariest thing was, it was all great. I'm on my stomach, and they're doing the back, and then I turn. They're like, turn around. I'm like, oh boy.
No.
Because I'm like, yeah, you know, like it's tough enough for me to not get an erection.
You sneeze and you get an erection.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm thinking, okay, what's going to happen here? Like, maybe it won't be, you know, it's not sensual. My wife's like right there getting massaged by another woman. So they're both young, attractive women. So they start off by lifting the towel off my legs right up to my balls. Like, it's so basically I'm wearing a loincloth. And then they slowly, each at the same time, slide their hands up my legs toward my inner thigh and just borderline to my balls, like right border to balls, sliding it up at the same time. I was thinking the whole time, weirdly enough, about Nick Kyprios.
Why?
Because I couldn't think of anything else that would make me not get an erection more than Nick Kyprios.
So Kipper, boner killer.
Boner killer Kipper. Yeah. We love Kipper, by the way. He's a good guy.
He's a really nice guy.
But yeah, I just couldn't think. I just wanted to think of the least attractive
human. Did it work?
It did. Yeah. Oh, wow. And Kipper killed that boner.
During the forehand massage, where's Steve Wynn during this?
He's like, hey, you like that massage? He's standing there. He stands right beside you. He's like, you like that massage?
Does he tuck you in?
This is a pretty nice massage, isn't it?
He's like, I
get the same massage every night.
I live in this hotel. I got nothing else to do.
He's such a hilarious guy, Steve Wynn. I was reading about how he tried to sell a Picasso to like a hedge fund billionaire. And just as he was about to, he was showing the people who came on the hedge fund billionaire's behalf to see the Picasso to make sure it was authentic. He's like, of course it's authentic. Who the f*** do you think I am? And he turned around to show him, and he elbowed the Picasso put a big hole into it.
Oh, my God.
So they had to repair it. I guess they repaired it, though, and he still sold it in the end.
Why is Steve Wynn turning with such force?
He's got sharp elbows. He's 73.
Of course it's real market.
Boom. Picasso.
I had the same kind of experience. I went to the Redondo Pier Amusement Center with my kids. It is the most terrifying place.
You got a forehands massage down there?
No.
I feel like a homeless man, maybe.
Do you know the old, like, chicken and egg things that used to be at the entrance to every grocery store on earth? You put your quarter in, you get, like, an egg out of the thing. That's like the games that they have. It's not even a game. You just get
like,
an egg.
Like a little plastic?
Yeah. It's the worst. So the best part was they get their tickets, and they can get, like, a candle of the Virgin Mary for one of the prizes.
What?
Yeah, it was very straight. They can get holy water.
Wow. Wait, was this a monastery?
I don't know. They just had everything left over from like 50 years that had been sitting there. And then they said, okay, you've got one token left. What do you want? They said, you can get a pencil. So I'm like, oh, girls, you can get a pencil. That's great.
You can draw.
They had a box of approximately 1,000 pencils. But the pencils were only good if you're named Andrea. They were all Andrea pencils with the name. I'm like looking through. Oh, is there a Sydney pencil? Is there a Ruby pencil? No, all of them were Andrea pencils. So if you're an Andrea, go to the Redondo Pier because you're in luck because every pencil has your name on it.
And here's to tie it all together. Steve Wynn's wife's name?
Andrea?
Done.
Oh, we know we're present.
I like the idea of you getting a forehand massage from two homeless guys under the Redondo Beach Pier. Just lying there, and they're just like, and they yank it hard. They're like, how's that?
I bet you could sign up for that. There's some sketchy stuff going on.
Would you be able to get erect for two homeless guys in order for them to take you to ejaculation?
Depends on the day.
Yeah.
Depends on the month.
Yeah. I definitely couldn't do it for Kipper, though.
Dan's mangled childhood.
Oh, can we talk about Frank D'Angelo for just a second. He has a new film.
Oh, I can't wait to see this.
He has a new film coming on. I think we're going to play the trailer. And
the trailer's pretty lengthy, though.
Are we going to play the whole thing? How long is it?
It's like three minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it pretty much tells the whole movie.
That's the thing about this trailer. We got to do it.
He's got some big names in this.
Let's do it. I mean, Michael Madsen, Paul Sorvino,
Robert Loggia.
The mom from
Doris
Everybody
Roberts.
Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Katie Nolan.
Katie Nolan is also in the film.
Also in that.
Every actor from the 70s that he could pay and convince to come to Canada to do this film.
Will this movie hit a theater?
He'll probably rent a theater out and put it in that theater. Let's just listen to it, and we can cut it out when we want to. But it's, as Mike Botticello said, you literally get the entire plot of the film in this trailer.
Called No Deposit.
I feel like I've already seen it.
That was...
Yeah. As you're aware, your loan with this bank is a demand loan, which
Eric
means...
Eric Roberts.
Yeah, that's Roberts.
We can demand payment.
Is that a real thing?
A demand loan?
Some stuff
demand
to do,
loan.
Okay, hon?
What's the thing you gotta do?
So D'Angelo is in the film.
Looks like they shot it in Calgary. You.
Mickey Ryan.
Oh!
He runs into the guy.
That's amazing.
He's
got the weight of the world on your shoulders.
You know what really breaks my heart? Losing my kid.
Okay. I'm staying with you, Daddy.
Oh. Take a good look at him, because that's the last time you're going to ever see him.
Whoa. Okay, so there you go. You set it up. He's down on his luck.
You want our help? I miss a few payments.
That's Daniel Baldwin, I believe.
You think that's why you lost your house? We know how to handle those lampshades.
Those lampshades!
Oh, God, just like the most token dialogue ever.
So what do you want?
None. I'm in bad shape. I got nothing left. I got nothing.
Whoa.
You've got to help your son. You must help him. He needs help.
Oh.
And sign of the cross.
If you cry, we cry.
Okay, he's joining the mob now.
Do you know what it is to put your life in the hands of a f***ing brother?
Oh. It's here?
He's being tattooed on the neck. And kissed on the neck.
Oh. Now it's official.
Whoa!
They're going into the bank. Demand loan this,
what
you mother.
You don't scare me.
Stop!
Police are being very tight-lipped about the situation, so there's very little information to go on.
You're such a Canadian newscaster.
Well, what are you going to do?
We got the power.
Just walk out of the bank, and I give you my word of honor. I'm going to help you.
I'm so sorry.
So D'Angelo's going to end the standoff.
He's going to save everyone.
It's nice to be great, but it's great to be nice.
Yep.
I walk out of here, you go your way,
there's your
and I go my way,
right
straight
there.
To f- hell, which is where I belong.
Listen
to
this
music. I
didn't want
to do this. I didn't mean this to happen.
Oh!
It's not real. It's just a nightmare.
Oh.
He saved us. He's a hero.
I got a lot of money. I'm gonna pay off this mortgage.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and then it's D'Angelo singing Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I think we got the gist of the
That's
movie there.
That's the movie right there. No deposit. Boy, he really held that note at the end there.
Way to go, D'Angelo. Another one out of the park.
Wow. Can we have him on the podcast again to talk about that film?
Yeah, he was pretty mad with us last time.
Yeah, he wasn't happy with us.
Mark Crawford.
Michael Paré, though.
Mark Crawford, a friend of the podcast.
We have to hear this.
He is coaching in the Swiss League. I don't know if you saw this clip, but he recently went off on another coach who was coaching in the same game as him.
Shut the f*** up! Oh, yeah! Look at you, Hollywood! Shut the f*** up!
That guy doesn't know who he's messing with. That's Mark Crawford.
Crawford, he can really lose it, eh, on the bench. Remember when he was John at Scotty Bowman that time? I was like, Crawford, you need to step back a bit.
Suppose, I don't know if he still does it, but speaking of some former players that used to play for him, he'd walk up behind them after like a bad shift and give him a kick in the back.
Nah, that's not cool.
That's like old school.
Yeah, that's abuse.
I think it's allowed if you're a coach. Oh, we haven't mentioned who's...
Abuse. It's allowed if you're a professional coach.
Dan Aykroyd on the Canadian Wall of Fame.
Speaking of abuse. I mean, look at this legend right here. I'm actually surprised we haven't had him on.
Here's a serious question. Has he made more off his tequila and wine than he ever did off acting? Probably, right?
His vodka. The skull vodka. The clear skull vodka.
Oh, that's vodka.
Yeah.
I thought it was tequila.
It's from Newfoundland, I think, is where they
make it out of
distill it and all that. Yeah, iceberg.
But people buy it just for the skull.
The skullduggery.
And it is expensive.
He's making some scratch on it. He's got wine. He's got a farm in Kingston or something like that. He hangs out with the hip.
That's right. My Uncle Brian hangs out with him, who you met on the
Celebration Tour. Yeah, we lost him in Kingston.
Maybe
he went to Aykroyd's.
Maybe.
I'm going to Aykroyd's. What's that? I don't know what he said. And then we thought we lost him, but he probably told us where he was the whole time.
Was Dan Aykroyd at the SNL 40?
He was. He was in
Bass-O-Matic 76.
Yeah, he did the Bass-O-Matic, and he couldn't get the blender
work,
to work.
Yeah.
Oh, because I missed that part.
Yeah, he couldn't get the blender. It wasn't that funny. But he's great. Ghostbusters, come on.
Are they doing the remake, all women remake?
Yep. The cast has been announced. It's Melissa McCarthy. Ooh, and
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. And then two SNL girls. Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones, right.
Oh, that's going to be a hit.
And then the girl who does Bieber.
Yeah.
She's a breakout star on that show.
Oh, she's so good on it. I'm embarrassed. I can't remember her name. She's a lesbian. I know that.
So that'll be a hit. No Deposit will be a hit.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be huge.
Also will be a hit is CKDJ tapes.
Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. Yes. Oh, before we get to CKDJ, we got to pay this off. Mike pointed this out.
Oh, my God.
Let's get a close-up shot here from Vader. this album cover, this is real, apparently. Nigel Peppercock.
That's the same picture taken of you during the massage.
Yeah, that's what my schlong looked like. Actually, and I like to wear fresh white Reeboks.
Can you read the name of Nigel Peppercock's album?
Fresh White Reeboks Kicking Your Ass. Just a full
Jim,
erection.
Jim, did you work on that album?
I did not. But I did work on with a band called Dad's Porno Mag. And their first single was "If You Think I Don't Like Her, Smell My Finger."
Delicious.
I'm surprised that wasn't a hit single.
Yeah. Oh, it's
get a chance.
Great song.
Nigel Peppercock.
It's awesome.
Dude, yeah. We got to try to get the rights to play that on this podcast. All right, so CKDJ, here we go. Let's get right into it.
A glimpse into my past, training to be a broadcaster.
Okay.
Great haircut, Patrick.
I wanted to make sure this was
Patrick feeling better, by the way, if everyone was concerned about Patrick. He's hopped up on drugs.
I spent the last year and a half thinking everybody hated me in Canada, but the people were very nice to me.
Oh, there you go.
See,
everyone likes you.
So we should also point out, we've got a letter from Peter Schrager that's going to be read on the podcast.
Yes.
He's on vacation in the Caribbean.
Yeah, Turks and Caicos with his wife on vacation. So he sent us a letter, much the way I sent letters from Australia.
And Taggart read them in
a perfect Aussie accent. It was as if Paul Hogan himself was reading the... Now, this time we have Anthony Masterson, one of our stats guys, who has a voice like Orson Welles. It's incredible.
He did the Voice of God intro that one time.
And for our Canadian listeners, he could be James Cebulski's brother. They look identical.
Oh. Do we have any shots of him that we can show, maybe?
We'll get one.
We'll look.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, we'll look.
We'll hit that Schrager's letter after we get through some CKDJ.
Okay, let's do that.
So this is the second full tape that we originally got, and this is the last 3.5 minutes of it.
Oh, so maybe this is like my second year.
Getting better.
Maybe.
Hey.
Maybe.
I'm not sure what this is.
Check two. How are you? I'm good. Today I'll be asking people what they want for Christmas, or what they're going to give.
Cindy Crawford.
Anything else?
A winning lottery ticket.
Who's
this?
Okay.
Is that, who was the guy last week?
Slappy?
Slappy. Is that Slappy?
Slap. The Slap.
A hit and
what
see
the
show now.
I guess what Slappy is up to now.
So this must have been doing streeters. So when you go out and interview people on the street... For a newscast, that's what it's called, streeter. So I guess this was practicing to do streeters.
Okay. All
right. Okay. Good luck.
Oh, my God.
Wait till I'm finished chewing. There's nothing better than a wool Peter heater.
What?
A wool Peter heater?
Is it something you put on your
I guess so. Is that like a toque for your
That's something we should pitch to Shark Tank.
Wait till I'm finished chewing. There's nothing better than a wool Peter heater.
A CKDJ mug.
Whoa!
Yeah, we'll get right on that one.
You sound like a fucking burnout. You'll get right on that one. That's like you're right out of small town Ontario.
By the way, Letterkenny Problems, we played their clips on the podcast, got approved to be a show. They get greenlit.
Yeah,
awesome
that.
News. That's awesome. Very cool.
That was the first time I'm like, no, this is Dan, where somebody's like, oh, something simpler. Like, yeah, we'll get you that.
Right? Yeah, we'll get,
get right on that one.
I'll give Christmas present, you wee bastard. Boot in the ass.
What? Sean Connery.
Prison, you wee bastard. Boot in the ass.
This audio is like when Mike
anything
is
I would
on
like
the board.
To get for Christmas or anything I would give to somebody else for
what
Christmas?
What would you like to get?
Anything. Anything Christmas.
I don't know if I can say that on tape.
Why not? Go shoot it for it.
I don't know. I'd like to get a nice car, and I'd like to give.
Oh, this is compelling.
Say the thing you can't say on tape. We can edit it.
You can edit it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to get laid.
Oh.
Whoa! Santa, bring me a hooker.
Money. That'd be good. Money? Yeah, it'd be really helpful.
Two front teeth.
Two front teeth?
Two front teeth.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Boy, I don't
what
know.
About a head in a box?
Well, that's always been that.
I mean, Jack in the box.
Oh. Were you baked?
Oh, my God.
Have you been smoking a massive, massive joint?
Jack in the box. Well, that's always a good gift, I guess, if you like those.
Dead bodies?
What is wrong
That's
with
another
you?
Good idea that you could use, I guess. I know my grandma really likes getting dead bodies in a box. We sent her one for her birthday last year, and she really appreciated it. That's one of her favorites. Yeah, maybe that'll be a good idea if we send her one this year, too.
What the f*** is wrong with
a gram of weed, man! A gram of weed, man!
Is that Otto?
Much bad things about Owen's Hound just didn't work out, and I'm glad
Well, that's my neighbor again, Robbie Fitz. We're all
now,
over the map.
How has the Belleville Bulls treated you so far, management and player-wise?
Oh, it's been excellent so far. I've been here. I've only been here 2 days. We had a tough loss to Oshawa the other day, but the management's been good. Matt's been great.
Can we that's the voice of Robbie Fitzgerald, who I saw at the Pink in the Rink event, and I told him, I said, we played some of your interviews on the podcast. He's now like one of the heads of police in Peterborough.
Really?
Yeah.
That
so,
seems terrible.
Guys, we got free reign in Peterborough.
Say, a lot of crime. A lot of crime happening there. You know what they need? Frank D'Angelo to come in and pay everyone's mortgage.
I'm going to pay his mortgage. Grandma weed, man.
Now, it's got to feel good coming from a last place team with Owen Sound to a contender with the Belleville Bulls.
That's for sure. I mean, we were in last place most of last year as well and this year, but it's good to come to a contender.
This is the pregame show.
Hopefully we can turn things around and get things going again.
Okay, you're from Peterborough, and past teams, including Owen Sound, have labeled you as a team leader. Do you think the Belleville Bulls expect that from you here?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of unspoken. There's so many leaders in that dressing room.
They don't expect anything from me.
Players have wore letters on their shirts in the past, but you know, there's 20 guys in the room, and they're all great leaders.
Wish I was getting a four.
Now, your opponent tonight, the Ottawa 67s, are a big rivalry to the Belleville Bulls.
Right now,
there's only 1
left.
Point separating the two teams. What kind of game do you expect tonight?
Your interviewing is actually a lot better than anything else you've done. I mean, we got.
Well, I think I discovered along the way that I wasn't cut out to be a DJ.
Yeah, right.
Okay, Rob, good luck tonight and the rest of the season and with your new team, the Belleville Bulls.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Okay, now more of the pregame show coming up after this short break. You're listening to 67's Hockey on 96.9 CKDJ.
All right, okay. It's getting better. Second year.
Lil Sketch.
Hey, it's time for our guest, Tulsi. It's guest time.
Should we do the letter after?
Yeah, let's do the letter after.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's bring in our guest, Daytona 500 winner, Joey Logano.
Yeah, man!
It's a soundproof room.
We just realized. Right.
Come on in. You're right in the middle, buddy.
Joey, we just realized it was a soundproof room, so you couldn't hear it. I was so sorry about that.
What's going
going on?
Joey, we're not that smart right off the top, so sorry about
that's
that.
That's a good way to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Wait,
well,
can we?
Most people know that.
Can you put one of your shoes up? We got to get a shot of
look
those
at these
shoes.
Bad boys.
Look at
whoa.
That.
They're on their maiden voyage today, by the way.
Oh, is that geez. Right?
These are like, you know, you ever have like those pair of shoes that you never wear in your closet?
Oh, but I dropped something.
But
there,
you so. Have them. And so I left all my dress shoes in my motorhome, which goes from track to track, and they told me I had to dress up for today, and
so you sent
none of you guys dressed
together?
Up. I don't know what happened. You guys are in flip flops and shorts.
This is how we dress every day.
What happened?
This is L.A. This is how we dress.
So are
every
the
day.
Shoes cutting into your feet at this point?
No, they're actually pretty comfortable.
Okay.
So did you send
just
someone out to
them
buy
too.
Them? Like you actually sent someone out to pick those up for you?
Actually, no. No, I had them. They're
oh,
in my closet.
Them.
I just
oh.
never I never used them.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
they were a gift. So like I don't know if I'd ever buy these for myself, but I'm just, you know, going
you're
with
warming
it
up
I'm
to
going
them.
With it. I'm starting to like them.
Nice.
Let's
like
take
it.
A gander at that ring.
Yeah.
Look at that bad boy.
Look at that.
Wow. That is sweet. Congratulations
yeah,
on
congrats,
that.
Yeah, thank you, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank
very
you.
Cool. Very cool.
Appreciate it.
Lead us through that. So you're leading the Daytona 500 right near the end. I would be shaking and so nervous because I stand over
I
a
was.
Putt. I stand over a putt with my buddies, and I'm like, okay, there's $20 on the line. My knees are knocking. I can't imagine what's going through your head at that moment.
It was, you know, it was one of the craziest parts is that, you know, the caution comes out with a few laps to go, and then there's a red flag. They red flag the race. Now we're yeah. sitting there, and it's just quiet on the radio. I could tell my whole team must be as nervous as me because they're not saying anything. I'm not saying anything. I'm like, I'm just going to throw up in my helmet here in a minute. So I'm like, this is not good. And you know, eventually we started talking and you know, came up with a game plan for the last few laps and be able to, you know, get the big trophy at the end of that thing.
It's unbelievable. Cool. Really and then cool. your dad had to chase you down. He's like, like, at what point were you like, all right, Dad, I get it. I got it.
Just glad he didn't fall and hurt himself or something like that.
He had to go so over. Far. It was like, I was getting worried about him.
It's a big track.
Yeah.
Is there 2.5 miles.
Is there a moment where it sinks in? Did it sink in right after you win the race, or is it sink in 2 days later where you wake up? I'm like, I'm a freaking Daytona 500 champ.
It sinks in. I thought it sunk in right when it happened. You yeah. know, I mean, it's like, you know what it is. You know, you're running the race. When you start the race, you know it's the Daytona 500. Like, and when you win it, you know you won it. Like, it's not like it's – I don't understand how when people say, like, it's, you know, has it sunk in yet? Of course it has. Like, right. you know, when you pull in victory lane and you see your whole team there, like you said, my family, my friends, everyone was there. And it's such a special feeling. And the funny thing is, like, you know it sunk in because I didn't know what to say. Like, you know, in victory lane or in the car at any point, it's just – you're screaming. You just – ah! You know, it's like it's all you, well, all that, you know how to say.
You hear the radio communications when guys win the race. You can't script out what you're going to say, like you were just saying. So you just
no,
scream.
I just screamed. That's like all that was coming out. That's then, all that.
And then you start to do, you know, you're doing all this press. You're on Letterman. You're going to be the last Daytona 500 winner to be interviewed by David Letterman. Think about that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty wild.
That is pretty
and
wild.
And he kind of made fun of you and had some fun.
I know, yeah. Hey, we had a ton of fun.
Did he? Well I always played. Wonder, because I always hear he well doesn't played. Speak to
it's 1.7 tons. That's how much my car weighs.
Right.
I,
okay,
I learned
you
this
figured
now.
It out.
Yeah, yeah.
You figured it out. We'll play that clip for the listeners later.
No, that's
if they
okay. You
it.
Can just kind of.
We won't explain it. But I always hear he doesn't speak to his guests in the commercial breaks. Like, did he
no,
talk to you?
No, it was weird because, like, the first time I met him is when I shook his hand in front of everyone. And
right.
Then that was the last time I saw him. That was it.
That was so no it. Extra chatting.
There was no, you know, hang out and get to know each other. No, it's nothing
like
that.
And he's
like
a big race fan. Like, he grew up in Indy, and that surprises me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, still had fun. I mean, it's still good. You know, it's kind of cool to say you're on it.
Yeah.
Tell us what's cool. in the Letterman green room while you're waiting.
Yeah.
Nothing.
They had, they don't have like some nice.
What do we
have
in there?
Some sandwiches.
We had
or
like a little vegetable platter. You
platter.
Know, they got the,
from the
celery
Deli.
And the peppers and the you yeah. know the carrots. That's what there was.
Because
it's from the Hello Deli, Tulsi. You know the deli he always
exactly.
talks to the guy. Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, he's done a new thing. He sets up like a bar for his guests and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, he's got pool tables and stuff. So
really?
He does it the new way. Yeah.
Didn't
oh,
he
I get on that,
that
show.
Yeah.
How do
he's
I get on that
had
show?
That. He's always had that. Right?
Yeah. Day one.
Yeah.
How do I do that?
Well, we need to.
We should have
what race do I got to win to do that?
Exactly.
Just got to win the championship. That's
is
it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's okay. it. No, well, next time you come here, we'll have tequila for you. Because I liked how you said you don't know how to party. You don't really know how to party.
Yeah, so. Well, yeah. You know.
Please explain.
Like, what does that mean?
I mean, I just didn't never, like, I've never been the going out type of guy.
Right.
It goes crazy. But we did have some fun after the 500, that's for sure. I was able to, you know, see my team after you get done with all the media stuff.
Do you guys rent a restaurant out?
We
or
went to a restaurant, yeah. kind of rented a restaurant out and had some fun. And the bummer part about it is 5:30 the next morning it was my wake-up call to go do all the interviews and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I was in no condition. That was like, this is not good.
Just pile on the makeup.
That can make it more entertaining.
And
though,
by
somehow.
Like 3 o'clock that day, I was done.
Yeah, you're
I was
finished.
Done.
And you now know, you got Vegas. Oh,
yeah.
Boy. See, that could be trouble for you.
Yeah, but we're racing.
Yeah. So you got to
We're good. We're good. We're racing out there. And I'm excited about it. It's a cool racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, we got the Polar last year.
Right.
I think we finished fourth. So.
And you're we'll coming off the top five finish. You're like
coming
your
off
start
the same exact
incredible.
Weekend as that. We had a first and a fourth in Atlanta, and we did this that last year here. So try to be better.
When you started racing at what, 6?
Yeah,
man.
Did you ever dream as big as winning the Daytona 500? Did you ever allow yourself to look to that?
I think every younger driver has thought about it. You know, you dream about it, but I'm kind of a day by day person at the same time. Like I always think about, well, what do I got to do to win this race? You know, and eventually you go up the ladder and you think about how you're going to win the Daytona 500 when you actually have a shot at it. But I think, you know, any young kid when you're 7, 8 years old, you dream of winning that race, of course, you know.
See, I would never dream that. I never thought I'd get to Fox. I once had a boss ask me, he said, where do you see yourself in 10 years? I said, I don't know, doing the news in Medicine Hat, Alberta. That was all I let myself
That's
dream
nice
of.
You didn't dream about being at the Sprint Cup award ceremony on stage?
Dan O'Toole here.
You guys are pretty funny up there.
Thank you, Joey. They put us first just in case we bombed.
It was
completely,
pretty good.
Then they could cut us out of the show altogether.
I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, it was fun. We actually told the story on one of our last podcasts, probably right after it happened, that we met Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
I always say his last name wrong. In the green room, and he said, go to my restaurant. By the time you get back, I still haven't been on. So while the awards were on, we went to his restaurant, had a big dinner, came back, and we didn't miss anything.
They were
didn't
still going on.
No.
I mean,
oh,
they were like
long.
A four-hour award show. It was
it's
like a
long.
Telethon.
It's really, really long.
Yeah.
You're there all night.
Maybe we should talk to him about cutting it down a little bit.
I think they tried, but, you know.
Just can't do it.
A lot of long-winded people go up there.
Hey, I got to ask you this. You got a funny proposal story because you married your high school sweetheart
last year.
Tell us about how
the proposal. I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Well, it could be funny.
I thought this was smooth, but to me, I look at I went to the place you buy the ring or whatever, you know, the jewelry store.
K's. Every kiss
begins
with
K.
Sales.
Yeah. So those places.
Right.
And then you look and you get this ring and you're like, man, I can get a pretty cool car for this. You know, it's like, I'm getting this rock or I could get a pretty cool hot rod.
Yeah.
You know, so, and her favorite car is a Ford Thunderbird.
Oh, nice.
So when I make fun of her, I bought her a mint green 05 Ford Thunderbird. And I make fun of her because I say, you're like the only lady under 80 that loves these cars. But I thought, man, if I'm getting a ring, I think I should get something that's kind of like, you know, cool too. So I gave her the car. And then while she was driving the car, I gave her the ring, and that was kind of cool.
That's nice.
That was kind of
like that.
That's a driving hazard.
Yeah, well.
Did you make sure she pulled over?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
or
good.
Not.
Yeah.
Not
yeah,
really
exactly.
that important.
Pull off into the woods and pop the question.
Whoa.
You know?
Okay. Hey. Yeah. It's getting racy now.
A few things. discovered that you're a fan of the Shark Tank?
I do. I like Shark Tank.
Oh, what a show that is.
That's a good show.
I told this last week. I said, I'm so bad at salesman pitches that I would pitch, invest into everything. Every pitch I'd be saying, I'm in.
You're a sucker for everything.
Yeah. I'm like, that sounds great. Sure.
You think they're all great ideas that go up there?
Yeah, sure.
All start as great ideas, and then they ask the right questions, and all of a sudden they're like, they got nothing.
That's
you know,
right.
It's like, uh-oh. You know,
that's right.
I like that part. That part's funny to me.
would you have an invention to put in your car?
Yeah.
I'm not that creative.
Something where instead of an adult diaper, just like a toilet that you could actually just
that it just
actually
into.
Would be nice
leaks onto
sometimes.
The track.
Yeah.
Like a Flintstones
that.
Car, you just put a hole in the seat, goes onto the track.
Do you really think Cuban's gonna like buy that from me and like develop that more?
He might.
Think he's gonna go with it?
I mean, he might be a fan.
Produce those?
He might. You never know.
It can happen.
Jimmy Johnson was here. I asked him this question. Anything you avoid eating the night before a race? And he said nothing. He says he's got an iron gut. I didn't believe him.
I usually eat about anything.
Really?
But I've been caught before. You have fish or something, you have a bad fish, and you don't really, because you're traveling so much, you don't really know exactly what you're eating. And And that makes for a long race when that goes bad. 500 miles feels like 1,000 all of a sudden, yeah. Believe me. So.
Is this race almost over?
Yeah.
200 to go. Yeah. 200 to go.
Yeah, so that's not good. Most of the time, I'm okay.
Avoid the fish now.
Right. I've learned my lesson.
Stay away from the buffets
at least
in Vegas.
At least a day before I get away from the Golden Corral, you know?
We can't say anything bad about Golden Corral.
Golden Corral's great.
Yeah, we're 100% into Golden Corral. We love Golden Corral. Chocolate fountain, butterscotch fountain. Dip anything you want into that. We love it.
Delicious.
You're home away from home at the track. What makes your setup better than anyone else's?
My setup. I don't know if it's better than everyone else's. I think some people got some really cool ones, but I'm just too cheap to buy the really expensive
Good
ones.
Good for you. But you did buy, neat. Didn't you just buy a pickup from a Charlotte Motor Speedway?
I did.
Secure. Tell
I
us
bought
about
a,
that.
I was at the racetrack and there's a 6140 kind of line pickup truck, wow. Which are like the cabin over trucks. Yep. Like you sit up front and it looks like it can do an endo if you hit the brakes hard enough. So the security guy had it there and he had it for sale. So I'm like, oh, cool. I'll drive that home. So drove it home.
So you bought it on the spot?
Yeah, we bought it. We drove it home. We tore it apart. And now it's almost back together. I actually drove it for the first time the other day. We almost got this thing back together. And just to have a little fun with it.
That's awesome.
You know what's crazy about this thing? So I'm tearing it apart. I take the fuel cell out of the back. And there's a big hunk of steel right above the fuel cell behind the rear axle. And I'm like, what the heck is this hunk of steel for? So I'm like playing around on YouTube looking at the old Econoline videos and stuff. And this guy's got this thing. And he hits the brakes going like 40, and the rear wheels come off the ground like 3 feet. So it must have been like an afterthought, I guess, to put this big ballast back there, which I thought was awesome. And then I had all these ideas that maybe I should take that out, and you know, I can come up to red lights with the rear wheels off the ground. How cool would that be? I didn't do that. Thought I had like the greatest ideas, and I thought... Then I thought they were bad ideas.
No, I think they're great ideas. I think you should follow through with all these ideas.
You think
and
so?
Pitch them to Shark Tank.
Yeah.
You've got the truck now. You've got the Thunderbird. What's your go-to car? What's your day-to-day
usage
car?
Yeah, what do you
car?
Drive every
What do you
day?
Drive to the garage?
Oh, man, my day-to-day, I got a it's like a company truck. It's a Ford Raptor. You know those pickup trucks, which is fun.
These are wicked.
Yeah, you can jump the heck out of them, and it's great. So the good thing is it's not technically mine, so right. It's kind of like a rental.
Right, right.
And it's like a 1 year rental.
It's
so
like
you have to like
kind
of save it to the end and then you use
then
it up right before you give it back.
Just
you
know bag drive the
shit
out of it.
Yeah, get some good air out of it.
You're a Daytona 500 you're a Daytona 500 winner sitting in traffic. Does it drive you crazy?
Saying, it drives me crazy.
You know
if I'm a 500 winner or not, it still drives me crazy. You guys live out here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Yeah, the traffic's horrible.
Jeez, I mean, you guys fight some traffic.
There's no arguing that. It's garbage. The traffic's garbage.
There's nothing you can do.
No, there's really nothing you can do about it but the weather.
I would you guys probably can't, but I would think about doing like the night shift just to get away from traffic.
We kind of do. I mean,
that's
this
kind
is
of a
us
big deal.
Starting work right now.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So it works out pretty good.
Yeah, pretty
traffic's
good
not
us.
That bad then
yeah,
for you.
It's okay for us.
Here's a proposal. All Daytona 500 winners can drive on the shoulder.
That'd be great.
Perfect.
All you got to have is the ring, right? And you're good to go?
Good. Just
That'd
put a
awesome.
Put a sticker on the car. You're good.
I think here's my Shark Tank idea. I think
oh,
we should
we
have
go.
A lane.
Cuban, listen up.
A lane for like a high speed lane. Like you got to be going over 100 miles an hour.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You have to go through a driving school. You have to have like a certain type of car that can, you know, handle.
Right,
you're not
right.
driving your SUV down the highway and you're going to lose control. So you got to be qualified for it. And then it's going to cost something to limit people in it, and you've got to be going over 100 miles an hour.
So
how
like
cool would that be?
Like an Autobahn
I'd be all about
situation.
That.
Yeah.
Or all minivans just have to pull over whenever the car is approaching.
Or that.
That's
it. Or there's that idea. That sounds simpler.
Your nickname, do you like it, Sliced Bread?
I've been called worse than that, so I go with it.
If you had a nickname to pick.
It probably wouldn't be that.
You're probably the only
but
person
like,
to ever have
like,
bread in your nickname.
I know. I like bread. Bread's good.
You're the greatest thing since.
Sandwiches.
Man.
I like, I mean,
you're the greatest thing since.
I like bread.
I like bread.
Who doesn't? It was awesome meeting you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you
appreciate
so much
it.
For
had
stopping
fun.
By. And come see us again.
Thank you.
You know,
yeah.
When you win the championship, swing back by. And we'll have
like
tequila
to.
For you here.
So that's the only way I can come back is I got to win the championship?
That's it. Right.
Yeah.
I want to give you incentive.
You guys are great. Thanks.
Our cafeteria here is named after Mo Sizlak from The Simpsons, and fish is the special today.
Ooh.
So
well, I'm not racing for a couple days,
yeah,
so
all right.
I'm good.
I would stay away from that. Really? I would not do that. Go
Thanks,
to Golden
guy.
Corral instead.
What a guy. Joey Logano.
Can't believe you mentioned Golden Corral.
Great place. By the way, we've talked about toilet paper quality. Last time we talked about it was in Russia.
We did?
Yeah, in Russia. So I have a runny nose every podcast. I had to bring some toilet paper in. This is the lowest grade toilet paper I have ever seen.
That's like army toilet paper.
Ooh, I see things aren't going well in LA for you.
I'm concerned that you have a drug problem that you're hiding from all
of us. Going to the allergist tomorrow.
Yeah, the allergist. Is that code for drug dealer?
It's you all crack cocaine.
It's all coming to an end tomorrow. No more drippy nose O'Toole.
Okay, Peter Schreger on vacation.
Yes.
We wanted to hear from him. We wanted him to participate, but his wife, his lovely wife Erica, said, "Hey, you can't be on the phone during the day on the
vacation."
And
he said he didn't have the plan to call from
and
the
he doesn't have the plan anyway. So he said, "Why don't you write us a letter and we'll get Anthony, one of our stats guys, to read it." So here is Peter Schreger's letter from the Turks and Caicos on
Traeger Bomb.
Jay, Dan, and the rest of the podcast crew. I write this international correspondence from the beach of an unnamed island locale. Unnamed due to concerns of paparazzi and a fear that if I actually name where I am, I'll have to sign autographs and take selfies with both the island's visitors and its natives for the remainder of my sojourn into paradise. You see, the pod is huge here. Every time I hear a local shopkeeper, fishmonger, or high-performing pharmaceutical sales representative talking, they're discussing the Jay and Dan pod. Yes, it's hurricane season and the rise of Airbnb has nearly put our hotel out of business. But has the audio been fixed on the pod permanently? And sure, the local internet connection is spotty, but as long as I have Patrick Muldowney's tweets about LA sunsets, who needs the World Wide Web? I saw a young boy, age 6, maybe 7, wearing a t-shirt with just an image of Engineer Jim's face and the words, "Savior," in block print written underneath it.
Wow.
Gentlemen, the pod has taken on cult status here in the islands. Who needs America when you've got the tropics?
I agree.
As I sit with the waves crashing and the sun scorching my body, you've seen me, it takes 8 days. Hanukkah, basically, to apply sunscreen to this collection of skin and bones, I've finally been able to piece together the magic of the pod. Jay, Dan, you two are the Iserman and Lidstrom of the gang. Leaders, gentlemen, and always better together than solo. Note, this worked better than my original analogy to Tupac and Snoop. That would have been a very foreboding comparison because Tupac is no longer with us. Rest in peace, Tupac. Engineer Jim, you are the Dick Cheney of the operation. Seldom heard from, but the mastermind behind all the magic. Pulling strings and ensuring the plan is executed. Patrick, you're our Bill Walton of the 86 Celtics. Once great in a previous life in Bristol, but now just fighting through back pain and doing your best from the bench. Contributor. Vader, for you are our Federico Fellini. A world-renowned filmmaker, known across the world for creative vision, cinematography, and class. Your film work will be discussed in art house cinemas for years to come.
Yeah,
if anyone's seen the latest PA show, they know the Fellini comparison is not far off. And Mike, you're our lovable Ray Bolger. Google his name. He played the Scarecrow in the original Wizard of Oz. Sang a little ditty called, "If I Only Had a Brain." As individuals, you're nothing. I'm sorry, one more time.
Oh.
As individuals, you're nothing, fellas. As a collective whole, you're at least the 17th best sports-related podcast on the web.
Yes.
We'll take it.
I need to go. The island wind calls my name. Not unlike Dan O'Toole's legendary Katie Nolan. Till next week, dear friends, peace and love, Schreger.
Nice work. Traeger Bomb. That is our NFL insider at Fox, Peter Schreger, taking a much-deserved vacation, and he finally gets to travel with someone, because he's always traveling
by himself.
Yeah,
he's always alone, running into people in first class.
Lovey Smith's son. I still love that he... He's a big fan of the podcast.
Yeah, he's awesome. He sent us a tweet last week.
He did? Excited.
Yeah, he thanked Shregs for mentioning him.
Wow. I didn't even hear. I didn't see the tweet.
No.
Wow. I didn't even see it.
I could send it to you and we could go over it next week on
Email Chain Theater.
I love
check
that idea.
Your inbox.
Because people have been asking for that to return. I know
Everyone loved it. Let's bring it back. Email Chain Theater next week. Toolsy will make sure Toolsy is a big role.
Twitter War Theater. Take no prisoners.
Big developments at our old work last week.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about this?
We didn't
You'll
say
have
anything.
A fun time joining me here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just glad we weren't there for it.
Here's the thing, though, and I'm sure you've all heard about this by now.
The tweet sent out.
There's maybe some legal threats. An apology was made. I think everything's cool now, from what I understand. But what got lost in all this from our old shop is that they, despite having no hockey anymore, still killed it in the ratings
that day.
So good for them.
And then they decided, you know what, maybe we shouldn't put the live tweets on there.
I don't know why we ever started putting live tweets
because no one's going to tune in. Maybe you tune in to see your own
tweet. Yeah, you'd like, I get that. You want to see your own tweet. Why would you ever put live tweets on television ever in the history of the world?
It probably wasn't
so
live.
Dumb. There's... It was live.
Well, I know it was live, but there are programs that pool that stuff, and most of those things need to get approved as they go out. I would guess that if somebody
accidentally approved the wrong thing. One person was in charge of putting those tweets up, proofreading.
So a human does look at it, just doesn't go through a computer and go.
No, this person looked at it and apparently didn't read the whole tweet.
Mm.
Again, they're only 140 characters. We should probably read all of them.
We use software similar to that for the Fox NFL Sunday show for players' tweets. It's all player content. So it pulls it. We read them. We put them in. So there's like a process.
So there is a human component. Okay.
Yeah. I would
assume. But it's not interesting or compelling ever.
No.
So why we do it is really beyond me. Like, no one wants to read someone's tweet on television.
Hey, just pulled.
That's what Twitter's for.
Just pulled my pud.
Yeah. Just had a forehands massage, exclamation point, hashtag.
How about this trade center?
Hashtag Kipper.
You could have sent it to Sportsnet and that would have gone off.
Well, they might have enjoyed that.
Kipper, had a massage, thinking of you.
Kipper, had a massage, had to think of you to keep the boner juice down.
Right after this.
Good luck breaking trades. Kipper, the best. We're going to chat with Jeremy Taggart, I think. Oh, what's going on, Mike? What's
up? By the way, Peter Schrager, if you're listening to this in the East, sorry, but your weather still—it's
garbage. Did you see the plane that landed? Was it at LaGuardia today?
Skidded
off the runway. That's not good.
No, that's bullshit. That's what that is.
That's horseshit. I can't have that happen, especially if I'm in the bathroom yanking it.
Well, you can't do that on landing.
Can I?
I don't think you can.
Lifted a few too many.
I might still do that. Maybe while we're waiting for Taggart, maybe we could get Jim to tell us a little bit of a story.
Trying to call him, but Taggart's not answering. So
oh, Taggart.
One other thing before we get to the end is reminding people to subscribe on iTunes and YouTube and follow the Twitter account and give the rating. The rating is important.
If you want to hear more about me thinking about Nick Kyprios while four women run their, or four hands are running up my thigh, then subscribe to iTunes. And you can get it on SoundCloud. I sound like you on CKDJ. But iTunes subscriptions is the real key.
And you rate it on iTunes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rate it. Comment.
Leave a little review.
Yeah. Leave a little review for it.
And we'll read your reviews live.
Oh, I like that idea.
Should we?
Live? Maybe not live. Nothing's live. Well, I guess it's live to tape. But... yeah, we should read some of those reviews on iTunes.
Oh, okay.
I feel there's like a discussion going on over here about what's happening with
not answering.
Okay.
Find him.
So that's okay. Okay. Let's we'll catch up with Taggart later, and let's get an engineer Jim story in here.
Jim,
by the way,
what's circling through your craw?
By the way, Jim, the opening was sensational.
Yeah.
This
stellar as always.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Really sharp.
I was just thinking. In honor of our new member of the Wall of Fame,
Danny Aykroyd.
Mr. Aykroyd, I did have the opportunity to work with him on a few occasions.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. I worked on that movie Dragnet that he was in.
Oh, yeah, with Tom Hanks.
With Tom Hanks, yeah. And it was a blast. It was a long time ago when I first moved out to L.A. and I was working on a lot of movie scores, and I worked on the score for that. And I told you guys when we did Leslie Nielsen that I worked on the Naked Gun movies,
God,
too.
God, that's crazy. You moved. You worked on those movies? They're the best.
Yeah, it was great. And when we were working with Dan, his brother was around, too, and it was just bedlam all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're just crazy.
Yeah, they were nuts. It was a blast. We had so much fun.
So what would his involvement in the score be?
He just was hanging out.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 His brother, was in, you know, obviously Dan's way into music too, but his brother was into music and he was around a lot, and Dan would just kind of come by and he'd see his brother there, and the producers, I don't know why, I think it was the Zucker Brothers that did that movie.
That,
I want to say.
Drag
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. And then later on, I met up with him again when I was working with the Black Crowes. He was buddies with Chris Robinson, and he'd swing by the studio every now and then while we were working with those guys. And then again later, we did like a special event show at the House of Blues with Billy Bob. And we had a special dinner and all this stuff, and Dan hosted the whole thing, and it was a great time.
He
loved, really nice.
He loves performing.
He does. Yeah. He still loves doing that Blues Brothers
and
stuff.
He's just the greatest guy. Unbelievably, I mean, come on, he's Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Aykroyd.
But just like a regular guy, too.
Yeah, and he
really
was the,
cool.
He was the guy out of all those guys. You know, he hung around with Belushi and all those guys, and he seemed, I mean, I'm sure he did his share of partying, but somehow managed to just
together.
Keep it together, keep the partying under wraps.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw it. So there was something they had, like the making of Animal House or something. There was some special they had on one time, and they were talking to him about it. And really, he was the guy that kind of ran interference for Belushi when they couldn't find him and all that other stuff. They kind of went to Dan, and he was the guy that would, you know, find Belushi at some random neighbor's
probably,
house a couple of blocks away
Blues
from where
Brothers.
They were shooting the movie. You know?
Yeah, when they were making Blues Brothers, you read that Belushi's book, and there's some days where he could barely spit out a line. They're like, okay, you got to just get through this one line.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, so the connection, Ira Newborn, who was a famous film scoring composer, known for his sort of work on comedies, Ira did the score for the Blues Brothers. Not the original music, but the score that went along with it. And Ira was the guy who, again, did the Dragnet movie, rather. Ira did Dragnet, and that's, I used to do a lot of his stuff, and that's how I kind of got connected to the whole
that's
thing.
That's pretty cool.
Did you ever work on a Foley stage?
I never worked for a Foley company directly on a Foley stage, but I've done a lot of Foley work, especially for pornos.
You just get some Jello and just hit the Jello.
Slap the Jello.
Yeah, no, actually kind of.
Weird. We should try that.
Kind of what we do
we
here.
Create our own, yeah, we should create our own Foley stage here.
We do a lot of the, not the porno stuff, but we do a lot of Foley and stuff, obviously, for a lot of the pieces we do here at Fox for, you know, features or whatever. And we need to put, you know, anything from somebody writing with a pencil to, you know, a door slam or whatever. We do a lot of that here.
They must have a big one on the lot here. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, yeah.
They do. They have an awesome one. And where I worked on a lot of the film scores was I used to work at the Paramount scoring stage, and they took over the stage behind us was an old Foley stage. It was really cool, and they wound up turning that into another music scoring stage, and I got to kind of check the guys out working there before they converted that room, and it was awesome.
What are they? Does
guys.
Anyone know what they're shooting here right now? They're shooting. They're shooting someone we were driving in today.
On
the New York
New York Street.
Street
yeah. Last like I saw it was
Bones.
Yeah. What's that show?
Bones. Backstrom.
Yeah, I'm Backstrom. Backstrom's in Vancouver, right?
Is that where they Oh, yeah, that's
I
right.
I think so. Yeah. But they have a production office here. I went for a walk around the lot, and I saw their production office over here. I was like, ah, oh, cool, Backstrom.
Backstrom.
Yeah.
Jim Pearl, one of our veteran stagehands, he took us both for a tour the other day in a golf cart.
Oh, no way.
There's so many people working on this
would
lot.
Would love to do that
but
here.
But Jim Pearl, he's going to have to appear on the podcast.
Yeah.
His tour... He doesn't tell you anything about the lot. He's just there for company.
Yeah.
Oh. So you just drive around.
He's not going to tell me he showed you. Oh, yeah. Cool.
It's a visual.
Just drives around and hangs out. Yeah. Everyone knows him, loves him.
He's worked here forever. He's like, I don't know what any of this shit is.
Yeah. He's been here forever. Hey, you mentioned the Black Crowes. We got to maybe next week. I'd love to hear a Black Crowes story because this is a band that I just loved so much.
Oh, man.
Is that still going on, the big dispute? Are they suing each other now?
I think it's still going.
Yeah, I think so. I think Rich tweeted something maybe, I don't know, a month or so ago about he said the band was over on Twitter or something.
Well, because he said that Chris wanted who's the drummer who's now got a radio show?
For Fox.
Yeah,
actually,
sports
Steve
radio.
Gorman.
Steve Gorman, he has a sports radio show. He's really good,
he's
too.
He's the guy, I actually stay more in touch with him than the other guys in the band, and we'd worked on a bunch of stuff after the Crowes, after he kind of that was, you know, on again, off again. Actually got him on Warren Zevon's last album.
Zevon.
He played on Knocking on Heaven's Door on that.
Cool.
It was really cool. Yeah.
We got to talk Zevon too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we got to.
That was
Zevon.
An amazing experience.
Oh, man.
Some cool, really cool stuff. And I will say one thing about working at Paramount, what was cool talking about wandering around the lots. We were also, I worked on like the first four seasons of Star Trek Next Generation with Captain Picard.
Whoa, really?
And they shot it on the stage right behind our scoring stage. And so we used to just wander over there and I'd be on the set like while they'd be filming like on the bridge. And I'd be, like, standing behind some fake wall watching, you know? I'm like, I didn't even know if I'd wind up being on camera. We used to just sneak over there all the time. It was
a
blast.
If anyone is watching a rerun of Star Trek The Next Generation and you see Jim poking his head out,
just
send us a screen grab.
This is my first time here.
That is very cool. Okay, I want to ask you about that. We'll save that for next week. I want to ask you more about Star Trek The Next Generation.
Lighties!
And I want to ask you more about the Black Crowes. Thanks,
sure.
Thanks. All right. We better wrap this up.
I guess we'll catch up to Taggart next week.
Yeah.
He was unavailable. But thank you, Peter Schreger, for your letter. He
Great
will be
letter.
Back live next week. Make sure you check out Nigel Peppercock's album.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hit.
I love the idea of Jim producing a Nigel Peppercock comeback album.
Yeah.
And he just refuses to wear clothes.
So when that guy tweeted that to us, I was at my kid's basketball game. And I'm sitting in the bleachers with all the parents, and my wife's sitting next to me, and I click on that. What the f*** is that?
First thing
and
you need to know
my wife looks over at me, and she's like, what the hell is that? What are you looking at? You know, and I'm kind of looking around, oh, s***. You know, all the parents are kind of like looking over my shoulder like,
delicious.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
No,
for this
no
guy.
Big deal. Just a naked guy with a massive erection and a pair of Reeboks.
And you know what we should do for next week? Bobby, our audio guy on Fox Sports Live.
Bobby D.
I lent him the first two seasons of the Trailer Park Boys. We should bring him in for a review, American's review of their first time ever seeing the Trailer Park Boys.
I like that.
And Bobby is a character.
Yeah, he really, you know who he loves? His favorite musical act of all time, Tegan and Sarah. Who, are they on?
They're on the wall next week.
Yeah.
Is it next week?
Let's get him on next
week. 2 weeks.
Oh, because next week, we have Jonah Carey. That's right. He's going to be on next week, yeah. So,
awesome.
Okay,
get ready for that.
We got to get Tegan and Sarah on this wall. All right, guys. It's awesome.
Joey Logano, awesome.
Great guest. Vader, the Fellini of the PA show. Unbelievable. Engineer Jim, killing it. Hanging out with Aykroyd. Crushing skull vodka.
It is manufactured in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
I was going to say Newfoundland. Newfoundland.
He was selling a gift box set where you got that Stones album with the vodka. Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, sounds like awesome. A cash grab.
And he's got wine, too. He's got a
collector's
wine
item.
Yeah, he's got the wines.
And great to see your new haircut, Patrick. And great to see your sitting not so stiff.
Drugged up, ready to go. Can we get a little... What was it? Little...
little sketch.
Little sketch.
Little sketch.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Was that a real band or not?
No.
No.
That's a good name.
Maybe you should start a band.
DJ Little Sketch.
Sketch. Done.
Token Soldier.
Real or fake?
I think that was fake, too.
Pilgrim Planet.
Fake.
Yeah.
Ah.
Remember the Day.
I don't know. I don't have a clue. No clue.
So long, my time here is up.
We got to do that again. See ya.
See you next week.
Elvis has just left the building.
They're going home.
So long, my time here is up.